Entourage 2014 A host Bill Hodge and Brian Brody highlight how the events of 2013 will continue and ultimately shape 2014. Focusing on the uncertainty of 2014, Bill and Brian discuss some of the major stories of 2013 and that the only thing we can be certain of is the uncertainty that next year will bring. They discuss a number of things we can do individually and collectively to prepare ourselves for the uncertainty of 2014. They also discuss the roots of many people's dependency on the grid and why for some it's so much easier to go with the flow than to prepare for the future. Surviving and thriving in 2014 will take a special set of tools that Bill and Brian happily detail. Wishing you and your family a happy and safe new year with a powerful jumpstart for 2014 from Bill, Brian, and the rest of Off the Grid News. Off the Grid Radio. EP 190. Released December 27, 2013. Brian, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Off the Grid News, the radio version of offthegridnews.com. I'm Brian Brody here with Mr. Bill Hodge. Bill, how are you? Coming up on years close. Bill, Brian, here we are, it's the end of the year. We're starting to think about 2013, what all has happened to us. And as you know, we look forward to what's going to happen in 2014. Always interesting, always time to reflect and then time to project, right? So reflecting and projecting. What have we learned? What have we gathered up in the year? 2013 has been a bizarre year in many ways. But I think, let me throw this at you, as we talk a little bit about what were the main sort of stories. What were the trends of 2013? The healthcare story has to be the number one story. Not because of its, the fact that it's such a debacle. But just because it's a trend that people, basically we just laid down and accepted this socialist scheme and we can even get it implemented. I mean, if you think it's a problem, wait until it actually is implemented. So I kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. Get your feelings and reflections about 2013. But for me, as I look at last year, it has to be the healthcare story. And just how nonchalant people are about, I think, right now no one knows what it means. People don't know what the law is. The legislators don't know what the law is. I'm not sure if the president knows what the law is. Consumers certainly are confused, not only by the law, but by the revisions or attempted revisions of the law, delays. What's all this mean? All it does, it further exacerbates the concept of big government. What's a socialist system to do, and you can't even think it through? Let alone, how are they going to implement it if they can't even get it off the inaudible 221? Brian, well, that and just with all the new fees coming that we hear about now in 2014. For me, the prediction is, I'm fascinated to see what this is going to mean for the midterm elections. As you know, a third of the Senate is up for re-election in 14. So I'm really curious to see how this is going to play out. If you are a fan of the Republicans, you know they'll come up with some pretty crafty ads to stick this, inaudible 246. Bill, is it enough though? Because think about it. If 51% of the people, or more, we live in this sort of democratic dictatorship now. If 51% of the people are getting something for nothing. If they're at the government beer tap. And they're tapping for free, no matter how many. Inaudible 309, or clever a campaign is. Is it possible to get somebody off that previous way of thinking? I mean, it's back to what we used to call philosophical, inaudible 322, right? You have your basic ideas about the universe and then every factoid that you import into your brain is imported through the lens of. Okay, so in this case it would be, President Obama is good for me as an individual voter, because he's given me this, this, this. A cell phone or this or that. Goods and services, or maybe I think that he is. Maybe he doesn't even give those things, but the perception of him being magnanimous with someone else's money. But how do you get, you know, how do you get those folks who have been misled by him? They're going to watch those Republican commercials and think that it's the Antichrist talking. Brian, well, I think that fate does. I mean, sooner or later, people are going to realize that they have to fend for themselves. You know, you look at articles or reports, saying that by the time a 911 dispatcher is able to send a paramedic, 8, 10, 12, 14 minutes in some cities, and people still don't want to know how to do CPR. Sooner or later, people are going to go, wait a minute. What do you mean, I don't get this and this and this? You know, and I've used the line before, you may not be a prepper now, but you will be. There will come a time in the future when you're going to have to prepare just to get through the next day, week, month. I saw a report out yesterday that some big names now on Wall Street are suggesting that you better have a 72-hour plan. You know. Bill, let me interrupt you for a minute. Why does someone think, for a second, that all is? If something breaks down, that it's going to be fixed in 72 hours. So the answer to something is a go bag? I mean, we sell this stuff, of course, solutions from science and so forth, and we advocate people having. Whether you buy it from Solutions for Science or somebody else, you ought to have 72 hours. But why does someone think that a systemic problem would only last 72 hours? Brian, agreed. Bill, that has to be the hokiest thing I've ever heard. Brian, well, I'm hoping that most people, if you can get, what is it, you can lead a horse to water but you can't make him drink. Most people, you get them to the idea of this 72-hour kit. They go, oh, well then maybe I should do a little more in terms of prepping. Bill, yeah, but this guy was talking about having a shotgun and a 72-hour kit, and so like, after 72 hours, I'll no longer need my shotgun. Because somehow things are going to heal themselves? There's this secret material in the universe, peace and harmony, and that somehow, it's like the old, remember the old Coke commercials? I'd like to teach the world to sing. You know, that used to be the big thing years ago for Coke. So somehow, people, when they're shooting each other, they're going to say, hey there neighbor. Stop shooting at me and taking my stuff. There's a better way. No one's going to say that. Brian, no one's going to say that. And that's why I think it's kind of a, you talk to these people and they say, oh, don't worry. I have a rifle and I have 10,000 rounds and I have this and that. And people will ask me, what do you think? And I go, well, the simple fact that you're broadcasting a rifle and 10,000 rounds makes you a target. It doesn't make you a marksman. Right? If that's in fact what you have, I think back to our good friend. And I won't even mention his name because that's how important it was. Remember our good friend, Bill, back in Belize? Said to me, we were having dinner one evening and he goes, I never tell anybody anything. He goes, I don't have food. I don't have weapons. I don't have this, I don't have that. And you and I both know this guy has. Bill, sure has a lot of stuff. Brian, an underground fortress. You know, he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I got nothing. Bill, but that sort of starts another debate, and I'm not sure we've got time for that today. But that starts another debate, is, can you do this yourself? So, do you and your neighbors need to get together to form a defense? I'm sort of always community-minded, and the idea of how can we get our neighbors? Because it's a tough road to go alone, if you're the only one. So that's an ongoing dialogue that we have, you know. What's the best way we have to solve this problem? I think if you're going to plan on staying put, you need your neighbors. Brian, absolutely need your neighbors. Bill, you need the stuff of community. Brian, you talk about all these supplies and all this and that. And I ask them, I go, can you stay awake more than 16 hours at a time? Right? Oh, I've got all this. And a lifetime supply of Coke and no doze, right? You're going to be able to stay awake for 72 hours. Bill, your immune system breaks down. Brian, everything goes. Bill, if you no doze your way into more than 18, the system doesn't work. Brian, your hearing goes. Your vision goes. Your ability to reflect or be reflexive goes. So, I just. Bill, here's what I'm getting at with this whole thing, Brian. What I kind of wanted to throw at you. The world is almost absorbing the idea of getting off the grid and prepping. It's almost pulled it in. There's TV shows now about it that have become mainstream. Just the idea, Duck Dynasty, those folks basically live off the grid. At least they're capable of living off the grid. So they've done really, inaudible A30. Service with respect to sort of making a lifestyle of being able to clean your own game and so forth. Kind of bringing that back to a generation. I mean, what's funny about the show is, you watch the show. People find it almost a freak show, and I think that's what A&D had in mind. Brian, sure. Bill, as the beginning. But that's the way I grew up. So I watch the show saying, yeah, I did that. I mean, I'm not shocked by anything anybody does. Because that's how I grew up and that's how a lot of people grew up. But a younger generation doesn't know that. And so we need to, but you've got this absorption into this, into our greater culture of all these disparate facts. It seems like people tend to go to sleep. Where I'm going at, what I think we need to sort of think about for 2014 is, things happen when people least expect them, historically. That's what I can say. No one expected X, then Y happened. And they always say, I never thought it would come this fast. You know, if you read books about what happened historically, no one ever thinks that things would come. But no emergency really comes when the prepping story and off-the-grid story is the top news story. That's the least likely time for something to happen. Events always have a way of this, inaudible 953, route around and then popping in a way unexplained. So we have the trend forecasters. We were talking about a lot of the trend forecasters and saying, how do these people even go out in public? Because they say something is going to happen with a lot of degree of certainty, and who knows, it's the Enya song, right? Who knows only time. You just don't know what God has laid out for us, as mortals. So to try and predict it, I think it's fair game to try to say here's how the economy looks. What could you say about the economy? Looks terrible. You can't keep dumping $80 billion into the economy. Now they're going to, they say they're going to stop doing that, or at least taper whatever. The stock market goes up. What do you think? It seems to me like people, we're in a world where pop culture has embraced off the gridding. It's kind of like the 8-year-old brother of a 12-year-old listening to a Kiss album, and it's like, he shouldn't be doing that. When prepping and getting off the grid and becoming self-reliant goes mainstream, I think some people tend to forget that that's still something you ought to be able to continue to do, or should continue to do. Be vigilant about, right? It's all around us now. It's no longer almost like a cult or a segment of society. You have Sam's Club, sells dehydrated food. Brian, well, what was it, probably 8 years ago or more when I did that video about the RV that I designed? And I called it, you know, it was an off-the-grid vehicle. Way back when. And just the term off-the-grid now, all the different things that it means to different people, but to me it's a function of biology. The human body is designed, you have to breathe for yourself. Right? You have to swallow for yourself. Notwithstanding people who are gravely ill. You have to swallow for yourself. You have to go to the bathroom for yourself. So, this whole sense of relying on yourself, genetically, it's encoded. So for me, when people say, oh, it's going to be so horrible in the future. Well, unless you literally can't breathe the air and you can't drink the water, you'll make it. Everyone that uses the status quo as a life-affirming crutch, going to be a bit more of a challenge for them. But I fall back on, thy will be done. Right? And when you say, okay, thy will be done, you have to prepare yourself to handle whatever that will may be. Bill, through that lens. Brian, yes sir. Bill, rather than an autonomous lens where you're saying, I'm going to manhandle every situation that comes to me. I think you're right. If you don't have, that's something we talk about, that people just don't want to embrace, Brian. People want to buy products. They want solar generators and they want. Brian, God love them. Bill, water filters and food. The things you need to have, they want those things. But when we begin to discuss the spiritual or metaphysical side of something, I think people run for cover. Don't turn this off right now just because we're bringing this up. How you look at things is the single most important. You know, we've just had a year full of Sir Francis Drake. Realizing what was inside of Drake's, what was his mental and spiritual makeup that allowed him to keep going when he ran out of food? When he ran out of water? How do you keep going when you run out? Well, you have to have something other than products to prop you up. You have your ability not only to maintain your body, but you have your wits. Brian, I say all the time, it's more brains than bling. It's more brains than bling. It's more gray matter than gear. Bill, you better know how to use your solar generator. You have to know how to use your dehydrated food, because that's the essence. How do you ration something? Some of this takes something called wisdom. Or discernment. Right? That's something that's not a common. If you look at broader culture, go to the, inaudible 1339. Report, go to Fox News, whatever it is you watch. Inaudible 1343, whatever. It's the news stories, they're all the absence of discernment. Brian, absolutely. Absolutely. Bill, so let me predict a trend. As long as we're on the thought, let me predict a trend for 2014. More of the same. More lack of discernment, because people don't have common sense. What used to be common sense isn't common sense. What used to be common sense to, in Audible 1411. When they were growing up, if you read their books, that's the way I grew up. What used to kind of be normal, that's no longer common sense. So here's what I'm saying for 2014. Expect more and more craziness. That means, crazy shooters. Crazy family relationships. Mental health breaking down. School systems breaking down. We have all kinds of means of knowledge now with the internet, with digital learning and so forth, and dumber people dumber than they've ever been. Brian, sure, absolutely. Bill, so, expect more of that. Now, there's a social cost to that, Brian. You need therapists for kids that break down in school. You need all kinds of policing, spiritually. Physically, you need more cops because the punching. How do you have a cop at every corner? You're back to the Soviet Union. If the knockout game is a social trend, and that's what everybody does, how do you have in the future a cop at every corner? Isn't that an Orwellian thing? But here's what I'm going to, in Audible 1516, to you and our listeners. This Orwellian nightmare that we find ourselves in isn't started by the top down. The top is reacting to something that's happening from a poorly educated, immoral body of people. Brian, yes, right. Bill, and the top reacts to that. You get lots of government based on anarchy from below. So the anarchy from below creates situations and it gives them. Now, this could be one of your situations where you'd say, well, is that a conspiracy? Your Alex Jones people would say that's all conspiracy, doing that. Or are they just simply reacting to the insanity and chaos of the people, who seem to be downward spiraling? That's kind of the way I'm seeing it. So here's my trend, expect more mental illness. Because people no longer have the tools of wisdom and discernment. I love reading the wisdom literature in the Bible. Because there's a lot for you to sort of, how can we? You want to know how to get along in a meltdown? Go read the book of Proverbs. You know, that's a great place to start gaining a concept of how you should treat your neighbor, when times are good or when times are bad. But you're going to need some kind of book of rules if things break down. What are you going to go to for a law code? I'll tell you what the ultimate, everybody making things up for themselves is the knockout game. That's the future, for people that won't abide by what God says how we should live. Everybody knocks each other out, self-government. Everybody shoots all the, we need self-government. But everybody needs to shoot all their ducks, like we talked about before. Brian, you know, I thought about you yesterday. There's a new law in the state of Illinois where we broadcast from. Great. A new law in the state of Illinois coming January 1st. A $150 fine if you throw a cigarette butt out the window. I think it's a great idea. I'm sick and tired of watching people throw cigarette butts out the window. That's what you have an ashtray for. Bill, but no self-government? Brian, that's what makes me think of you. When you talk to me about the ducks. When you see some of these other things going on. Bill, tell the people, the listeners, why we talk about the ducks. Because we're right by the Mississippi River. Brian, right by the Mississippi River. But if there weren't some type of law that came up on a limit, you'd have some nut out there, dropping hand grenades, picking ducks up by the dozens at a time. Bill, I know because I hunt with these people. They, I don't hunt with them, but I hunt along the river with them, they would literally shoot every duck. So we have to have some rule that mitigates against total libertarian anarchy. It can't be, we all do whatever we want. Brian, agreed. Bill, because then that's like John Paul, in Audible 1810, said one time, if I'm God, my neighbor must be the devil. At least he got it. That's what I love about smart atheists. At least he gets the idea. If I'm God, if I'm the maker of the rules, then my neighbor is anti-God. Because he might have a set of rules that are different than mine. Their subjective in this case, is what, in Audible 1832, was getting at. Brian, right, and it's unfortunate, because he wrote some good stuff. But he also missed the point of the underlying commonality. And that's what I think happens with the knockout game. You go and punch someone, because spiritually, you don't, forget spiritually. Scientifically, you don't believe that the Higgs field exists. And therefore you share a commonality with that person. Right? So if you get to go and punch somebody, a mom walking down the street with her daughter, you sneak up behind her and punch her, I'm pretty sure right away you have no sense of connection to that other person. And even in science now. science and spirituality both would say. Inaudible 1910, was wrong because if I'm God, that makes my neighbor Satan. No, if you're God, that makes your neighbor God as well, you know? Bill, but what, Inaudible 1921, was saying is, he was identifying a basic principle. He was basically saying we're depraved. He was, there's something in our being that often chooses the lower path, right? That's what he was identifying, and in a way that a lot of times good church people miss that. A guy will walk up and punch you. So even walking down the road now, walking down the sidewalk now, you need to sort of say, I wonder if that guy is going to punch me or not. It's almost like the old West when everyone used to carry 45s. Brian, that's another thing now, coming up in Illinois now, the last state that's allowed people to have a concealed carry. And you look at some of the other states, and I've traveled to all of them now. You look at some of the other states where they have concealed carry or some of the states where you carry your gun on your hip, there's no crime. Right? There's no crime. The bad guys know right away who is carrying, and those are the people who are left alone. And when you don't know who's carrying a weapon, everybody is left alone. But the knockout game is a continuation, I think, of people having no respect for other people. But it's born out of having no respect for themselves. Right? Bill, there's some kind of void in there. Brian, there's a void. Bill, in their being, that needs to call out for something. Brian, and that vacuum is always filled by evil. The vacuum is always filled by evil. People go, oh, what's the vacuum filled with? It's not rocket science, right? If you have that depravity, if you have that lack of a sense of connection, if you have that lack of the sense of the divine in your life, that lack pulls in the opposite. And that's evil. The void. Which fascinating to me, when you look at the word live and you look at the word evil, L-I-V-E, or live, is evil spelled backwards. I know that's kind of corny, but you either live, knowing that there's an underlying connection. And again, you don't like the philosophy of it. You don't like the word, what, the word religion means bind together, right? That's what, 21:25, first meant, to bind together. You don't like that concept of binding together, religiously, spiritually, then look at it scientifically now. At the most basic level, we're all connected. We're all connected. Not one of us, not one thing you hear, look, see, feel, touch, anything, would exist, had it not been given its mass by the Higgs field. So that's what fascinates me, Bill, when we study ancient philosophers. When we study, you know, the works even predating Moses. These guys and girls got it. They sense the divine in everything. The sense the presence of God, so when you look, I say all the time. You know, you look at some of these Neanderthals, or maybe right after, shortly thereafter, these kids laying around, looking up at the Milky Way, they were closer to God than most of us are today, because they got it. They understood about that all-pervading spirit. Some call it the Holy Spirit. Whatever you want to call it. It exists, and if you don't have a sense of tapping into that, then you pick up the knockout game. Why? Because you don't have that power that comes from believing in the Holy Spirit, right? You don't have that power that comes from believing you're connected to the universe. So without that power, what do? Bill, let me throw something at you. Brian, knocks somebody in the head. Bill, here's something the early church did, when there was the void like that. People didn't say, well, I guess I'm going to stay out of downtown Detroit. In the early church's period, when Romans were throwing babies over the rock fence to die to be exposed or to be eaten, the early church came and said, I'm connected to that baby. I'm going to take care of that baby. So here's a mission field. The knockout game is, just as you say, someone calling out for help in some sense. The difference that I see is how we respond to that today, compared to how people respond to that during previous. To me, there was a time where that would have been foreseen as a mission field. In other words, if you look at someone like St. Patrick's life, who went into some pretty barbarous situations, much more than that, fearless. Not because he had this holier-than-thou perspective, but because he did feel connected to his fellow man. He had a message he wanted to share with them. And so dash. Brian, the 23rd Psalm. Bill, it allowed him to go there fearlessly and present this, the gospel to them, and I think that's what, you're going to get plenty of opportunities. So as you look at 2014, what we have to do is, look at the world through some different eyes. The grid, Brian, poisons us from the standpoint, it wants us to stay in our little division of labor. Brian, comfort zone. Bill, compartmentalized comfort zone. And it says other people are missionaries, other people do this and that. And I think isn't that, everything, we love the division of labor here. We love being able to go to a dentist, right? But again, it's the wisdom and discernment, knowing that you don't have to stay a prisoner of the grid, philosophically. That's someone else's responsibility. I'm not going to go help them. Christians in the old days did something, right now we have bombings overseas and in the old days, people said, that's my problem too. The Christians being attacked in Iraq. Christians in Spain said, that's my problem. Now what do? We say, there's a problem. Isn't that interesting that they have this problem? Brian, they have this problem. Sure. Bill, so everybody's got another problem except you. Brian, right. Absolutely. Bill, but I think what goes around, comes around. If that's your philosophy, God has a sense of humor. When you need help, guess what? You're going to be in a little compartment, a little very sanitized room where no one can help you and no one wants to help you. That's like hell defined, right? Brian, well, John Donne's poem, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Bill, nobody's helping anybody. Brian, falls for thee. We're all in this together. So for me for 14, I would say we were talking about Noah right before the show started. I've always liked the 23rd Psalm, ye, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Right? For thou art with me. So if 2014 gets to be a little more of a backbreaker than 2013, channel your inner Noah. Right? I can pretty much imagine that Noah didn't want to get off the grid either. Right? We were talking about the movie. Pretty sure Noah goes, wait a minute. I gotta build what? I gotta do what? Bill, all the great heroes. Brian, I'm going to do what? I'm pretty sure Noah was like, look, I'm going to Florida for the winter. Let's get a hold of me when I get back from spring break. Noah didn't want to be challenged like that either. So if 2014 is going to be tough for you, channel your inner Noah and go, hey, ye though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And that's the attitude that you have to take. Because everyone's going to conjure up all of our favorite porters of different types evil. Bill, that's what the media does. Brian, sure. But if you go, hey, ye though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Or Tecumseh's poem that was made really popular from the Special Forces movie that was just out, I forget its name now. But it goes, look, there's going to come a day. Prepare your death song. You know, when you have to face the challenge, meet it bravely. Don't make fun of other people. Don't belittle other people. When your day comes, square your shoulders and go, knowing that dash. Bill, you just touched on something else that has to remain firm in the minds of the listeners for 2014. We've been talking about it. The conceptual framework of, there's something in the universe more important than yourself. Brian, sure. Bill, and I think that's what, there's something worth dying for. Can you imagine a world, we would not be here, talking today in this country today, if people whose shoulders we're standing on didn't previously say, there's something worth dying for. Now, if you look across the culture today, if we went out and took a microphone on the street and started talking to people and we said, what's worth dying for? People would really have to search themselves. You may get some bravado from some younger, you know, ostensibly tougher, younger males that think that. But when push comes to shove, is anything worth dying for? For people today? As long as I've got my stuff. As long as I've got my things. Brian, as long as I get my update on what Kim Kardashian is doing. Bill, when I was getting a message there. Brian, the Kim and Khloe updates. I think you got that for Christmas. No, I'm with you, my friend. I think that when you look at all the different things going on, if you can't find that one thing that's important to you, what was it, if you can't find something to stand for, you'll fall for anything. Wasn't that a country song or something? Something like that. But you're absolutely right. So stand for that connection that unites us all. You know, countless times that say we go all the way back to Adam and Eve, again. If you like that religiously, groovy. If you don't like it, scientifically, groovy too. They check the DNA and they say, guess what? Most people alive today come from Eve. So there's really no debate between science and religion. And what's always fascinating to me is, like you say, they want to keep us in the bubble. They want to keep us in the comfort zone. They want to keep the battle going, but the more we learn from science, the more we learn the ancients got it right. That there is a Holy Spirit. Just now, scientists will call it the, how do you spell W-H-O-L-E-Y? Or W-H-O-L-Y? It is wholly connected, just a different way of spelling holy. But that doesn't lessen its connective power. And if you don't feel that sense of connection, you're absolutely right. You've got nothing that's worth dying for, and candidly, then you're already dead. So. Bill, that's the abominable drive, inaudible 2925, from the old Vincent Price movie. He said, you can't kill me. I'm already dead. Brian, already dead. Yeah. Bill, and you're back to zombie culture. Right. Which, what do people like? Brian, D.S. Eliot's Wasteland. Bill, people like zombie culture. You know, our world, what you go, the popular ideas, everything is zombies. Brian, zombies. Yeah. Walking Dead. Bill, take that to its final conclusion, folks. Take the zombie culture to its final conclusion. And you've got trouble. But, for this year, for 2014, Happy New Year to everybody. In a couple of days it's going to be New Year's. We've got a great year. It's going to be fantastic to start out fresh again. That's a good way to always sort of have a vision, what's God done for me, in space and time here. I've got another opportunity, another year goes by. Brian, to say thank you. Bill, I've got things to be thankful for and I've got things to do. Brian, right. Absolutely. Bill, we love that about Drake, right? We love the fact that he was a sovereignty god. But he said that until I'm dead and in the ground, there's stuff to do. Brian, right. And he asked for forgiveness for going at it with training wheels on. So for me, if you're going to face 2014, kick off the training wheels, remember that part of the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And hit the ground running in 14. Bill, at some point, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to need to read that again. And it reads a lot different to you when you're in a situation where there's a comfort zone. So I think that's a great way to end the show, Brian. Brian, it's nice having a bodyguard. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, it's been Mr. Bill Hyde and my pleasure today to sit in with him on the year-end show here at Off the Grid News, the radio version of offthegridnews.com. I should thank everyone from our parent company, Solutions from Science, Heirloom Solutions and the like. All of us wishing you a very, very productive and happy new year.